It's 206 here at Kate Radio. Yeah, we played this song last hour, but we need some bumper music to welcome our good friend, Tom Jones, out of Tom Jones Tuesday. Jonesy, how you been?
Hey, doing well, Aaron. Hold on 1 second here. Yeah, nothing like some Olivia Newton-John. Wow, so sad to see her gone. And I can't watch Grease enough. I think it's one of my favorite movies, especially the ending when they're at that carnival. And it's just so cool to watch. And I saw quite a few different clips people posted last night.
Now, I saw something on Twitter where someone posted any guy over the age of 50, that's 50-plus now, had a crush on Olivia Newton-John. Were you one of those guys?
How about any guy that's 60 right now still 60. Has a crush on Olivia? I mean, yeah, when she... In that movie, it's just amazing. John Travolta and she, they fed off so well off each other. And you look back at that and you say, how did they ever make that movie? I mean, it was such a great... Some of those movies from the 80s and 70s were just phenomenal. And of course, they did that Grease Live, too, on TV here a few years ago. And to be able to watch that production go live, too, was just amazing. And, just so sad to see that she has passed away. And at one time, I know she owned a store called Koala Blue in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And I had a mug of Koala Blue that I had gotten somewhere along the line in my collection. I wish I still had it, but I don't anymore. But, we're going to miss her. She was an awesome person.
Absolutely. Again, Olivia Newton-John, we paid honor to her last hour playing Olivia Newton-John music. This hour, we're back to talking sports with Jonesy. And Jonesy, I got to ask you, how was your fair week? Did you get a chance to get out to the fair?
I saw Ted Nugent on whatever night that was, Thursday, I think it was, and I went out Saturday night for the Christian rock band, and that was absolutely an amazing concert performance. I had never really heard of them or seen much of them. I checked on YouTube a couple of their songs, and they did that Little Drummer Boy as their encore. Of course, it's a holiday season, and their lead singer said, this isn't quite the right time for Minnesota, but this is the way we're ending it. And there's a couple of videos of Little Drummer Boy on live on YouTube, and that was just absolutely amazing. I know my good friend Tom Dierdall and I were sitting next to each other, and he said it on his way out. It was the best concert production he'd ever seen, and I agree with him on that for sure.
You know, that's what Mike Whitus was saying, and I've seen many comments online that even if that's not your type of music, that the show itself, what they put on, like you mentioned, the production of the show was A++.
Oh, and I'm anxious to talk to Mike on how that all set up and how that all tore down. If that they bring their own stuff in, and but yeah, it was absolutely literally breathtaking to sit and watch. I was so in awe over everything. I wasn't clapping and cheering like a lot of people were. I literally was just in awe over the talent there. And even, to Ted Nugent, to watch him play guitar at 73 years old, my goodness, 74, whatever he is. He's very political in his way, but you got to still appreciate the talent of his guitar playing was just amazing. And it was kind of neat. I was in the grandstand, and when he did Cat Scratch Fever, did the lead guitar into that, I think everybody in the reserve seats' cameras went up in the air to videotape Cat Scratch Fever. It was kind of fun to watch it from behind. But that was a good show. And then, although I didn't see Lee Greenwood, I appreciated Lee Greenwood because I could sit in my backyard on Fountain Street and listen to the concert and could sing along with God Bless the USA. It came across the lake very nice and loud. So great week at the fair. Hats off to the board and everybody. The 4-H, I was a 4-H member one time. Way back when, and it was fun to see the 100 years of 4-H, and it was a great thing, and I guess they call it the six best days of summer, and that's right on.
Tom Jones, on a Tom Jones Tuesday here on Kate Radio, and Jonesy, being a big-time Twins fan, I got to ask you this question, and I talked about it a lot yesterday on the show, the call on Sunday where Rocco Baldelli went and got kicked out pretty much in 4 seconds. It's the most emotion that I think anyone's seen from Rocco Baldelli since taking over as the manager for the Minnesota Twins. You know who my favorite team is, but I respect the fact that Rocco Baldelli showed that kind of emotion. As a Twins fan, were you glad to see that? Because, most of the time, Rocco's a pretty even keel, pretty quiet. So as a Twins fan, were you happy to see that side of Rocco?
I think a lot of Twins fans were, including me. You've got to back your guys. And I saw, I don't know if you saw the picture that was taken straight down. I think there's a camera because he pointed up in the sky, like, check the camera. And boy, that's just a tough call. I guess the ruling is if the ball is where you're at and you're there, it's a legal play. And the ball was, he was right where the ball went to, and it, I guess it should have been a legal play. And he lifted his leg up, too, for a little bit for the slide to potentially go under. So I think it was a blown call. But, you know, he still got to score runs. Max Kepler made a huge, I think it was in that game where he should have tagged up from second on the fly ball to right. And that's, I'm going to say, I'm a coach, that's a coaching error. The coach, third base coach, it was Tommy Watkins, I believe, he's got to have him setting up for that. And for some reason, he didn't tag up. So, you know what, it's a game. We're going to continue on, and life will go on, and we're going to win tonight when we go out. And let's see, who are we playing? Who are we playing
tonight? The Dodgers. The Dodgers for two.
That's what it is. I know it was a lot California team. So, and I'm just getting greeted in my driveway. I see elderly football coach Paul Dunn just pulled in my driveway. So I'm at home on late lunch. And which is going to – can you hold on 1 second? Grab Lexus.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry about
hey,
that.
Tell Paul I said hi.
A little segue to what Paul Dunn is here for, and he's a very supporter to Albert Lea Athletics, and Albert Lea Girls Basketball is doing their annual duck race. They've been selling tickets.
That's right.
And they're $5 for $20 and $5 a piece. And Coach Dunn is dropping off a check for my daughter. Very nice of him to do that. But anyway, they're going to be racing, I think, at Schaaf Creek, Schaaf Park, Schaaf Creek, whatever you want to call it, Thursday night. So the girls are all have raised all this money, and they throw all these hundreds of thousands, maybe 1,000 ducks in the water and let them run down with the current. Hopefully there's going to be enough current. I'm not sure if there is. I was going to drive out and check it out. But a person can win some good money if they have bought a ticket for that. And my daughter sold about 25 of them. So that's a nice little thing in an off-season for the Albert Lea girls basketball to raise some money.
And we should mention with that fundraiser, you can buy your ducks from any girls basketball player, and you need not be present to watch the actual, quote, the swimming on Thursday to win. Is that correct?
Right. That's correct. Yeah, but you better do it between now and 5:30 because they're starting to collect money, I think, at 5:30. So if you know a girls basketball player, get a hold of him, and you will have a chance to get some ducks and hopefully win some money. Well, that's my first thing I want to talk about. Aaron, talk about Jake Thompson now. Have you been following him with the Jupiter Hammerheads?
No. All I know is about Jake is he hit his first professional homer last week. I did see that.
I saw that, too.
Yep. I mean, it's Class A ball. He's batting, it looks like, either fifth or sixth and playing left field for the Hammerheads, which, by the way, I love the nickname. Minor league baseball teams have the greatest nicknames of all time. I haven't pulled up any stats on him, but you know, he's just getting his career going. I follow their Facebook page. And the one thing about minor league baseball is that there's a lot of transactions. So, I mean, guys are always on the move. They're always on the move from rookie ball to A to AA, AA back to A, and so forth. And, you know, right now he's in Jupiter. I think that the AA team, or it might be a Class A team, is in Beloit in Wisconsin.
Right.
So he's got a chance to get there at some point. And wasn't Beloit at one point, weren't they like the Snappers? Were they a Twins affiliate?
Yep, that's correct. They were a Twins affiliate, and then they went to be a Brewers affiliate, and I think they're still a Brewers affiliate. And they're, you know, Beloit used to be low Class A. Now Jupiter is low Class A. I think that's where the Fort Myers Miracle might play, too. I'm not 100% positive on that for the Twins. But, yeah, his next step up would be Beloit, which would be nice because then you'd have a chance to see him play in Cedar Rapids or down in the Quad Cities or Beloit, all probably about equal distance away. But, yeah, his on-base percentage I saw last night, I was looking up for stats for our show today, and somewhere in the mid-750s, actually, I should say slugging percentage, slugging plus that big percentage they use now. And so he was right in the middle of the pack for his team. So he's doing well as a Class A rookie. Another thing I want to talk about, Aaron, too, and I understand from talking to Neil Pierce that you were talking with Mike Grimm yesterday about the legacy that Ray Christensen had when you were discussing Vin Scully. And Ray, interesting note there is his mother was born just outside of Alden.
I did not know that.
a lot of people may or may not know that. And Carlson Township, which apparently kind of goes right up against the edge of Alden, and he was actually born in Minneapolis, but his mother was born in Alden, so some local ties. He's been back when he was alive. I think he emceed one of their parades one time, and I'm not so sure he didn't come and talk to the school for Neil, too, at one time. But a little sidebar for Alden as we talk about the legacy that the radio broadcasters of the past have left.
You know, here's the thing with Ray Christensen and Vin Scully, and, you know, most broadcasters and nowadays, they use a color person or a color analyst to help them out, which I always like having as somebody with me in the broadcast booth. Vin Scully and Ray Christensen were so good at what they did. They were some of the best storytellers because that's what a radio broadcaster does. He tells the story of the game. He paints the picture for those listening at home. These guys never had help. It was always Ray on his own, Vin on his own, and that's why they go down as two of the best ever because they were able to be the play-by-play guy and the color analyst all at the same time while painting a beautiful picture that always felt like you were at the ballpark or in Williams Arena.
Oh, no doubt. That my favorite line, and I was telling this to Neil, you can just hear Ray Christensen saying, you know, as the Gophers have the football, he would say, slot end right, end set left, somebody in motion. You know, he just painted that picture so well. You felt like you were right there on the field, like you said, and especially with basketball, Gopher basketball, too. He had that front row seat in the upper deck, and he had a great vantage point, obviously, at Williams Arena. So, yeah, Vin Scully, what more can you say? Just a tremendous loss for baseball, obviously. And I think he called his last game, 90 years old maybe, or somewhere in there.
Yeah, it was. I think it was 2016 he retired. And did he pass away, 94? 94, maybe 96. I'm not sure. But either late 80s or right around 90. And sixty plus years with the same organization is crazy. From Brooklyn to Los Angeles, I'm assuming that Vin's got to have a book out there somewhere.
That's a good question. In my massive book collection, I don't have it, so I guess I'll have to do some research on that. And there'll probably be another one coming out, I'm sure, very soon. With his passing. So
I'll say I sure hope somebody sat down with him and got every story out of that mind of his, because you know that's how we remember these guys, as we read their books, we read the stories that, and I can't even imagine. I mean, he was covering Jackie Robinson.
Yeah,
I mean, think about that. He was covering Jackie Robinson and just got out of broadcasting 6 years ago.
Yeah,
it's unreal, unreal.
Yeah, for sure. Last thing I want to talk about, and that's another one that's great to my heart, and I know you guys are promoting it today, and apparently there's a big bike ride in Albert Lea. They've been doing it in August, and Harrison Cates with the boys basketball, they were going to be helping out on the bike ride, I should say, handing out water somewhere along the line. I'm not sure where, but Harrison really enjoys getting the team part of the community, and they're going to be out there somewhere along the line, and I'm going to be helping out on Saturday for this big bike ride around the lake. So hopefully we'll see a lot of people signing up for that. All the activities going on with the 100th anniversary of Edgewater Park, which, again, you could probably write a book about that, but it should be a great weekend of super activities going on here in Albert Lea.
Going back to Jake Thompson there, Jonesy, 6 hits in 22 at-bats, 3 runs scored, that one homer, 3 RBIs, batting a .273 with an OPS of .773.
There we go, .773. That's the one I was talking about, yeah. You know, a couple years ago, I had a chance to take Spencer up, and we watched Jake play. I think it was the COVID year when they started late, and he played for the Mankato Moondogs, and I'm going to head up there tonight. I've only watched one Moondog game this year, but it's a perfect night for outdoor baseball, and I think I'm going to be running up and watching them play tonight. They're giving some sort of a bobblehead away. Lucky my wife is not here distance away as I say that, but we're going to head up there and watch it and have some fun being outdoors for watching some baseball.
You know me, I'm a huge bobblehead guy. What are they giving
yes,
away?
You are.
Which one? Or what is it?
You know, it's a guy that played for him last year that apparently hit quite a few home runs for him. I don't even know. I saw it online, and so we're going to try to get one up there. If we don't, we don't. But it's still fun. I watched the La Crosse Loggers baseball game here a couple Saturdays ago. I did a little river trip on a Saturday, and ended up in La Crosse to watch the Loggers play, and that's a neat stadium, right along the Mississippi River, but it's kind of on the backwaters, and the night we were there, the water was not smelling good, and also the mayflies or deer flies, whatever you want to call them, came out that night, and oh, let me tell you, they were all over everywhere, and fly balls were going up into the all these flies, and it was kind of crazy.
I do have a Curtis Granderson bobblehead that they gave out at a Moondogs game, but he was in a Mankato Mashers uniform because that was the original name of the team. I have a bobblehead of their mascot. And was it Dean Boyer? Was that the coach,
yes,
the longtime baseball
coach? Mankato State coach.
Yes,
yep.
I do have a bobblehead of him that they gave out at a Moondogs game as well.
I think I was at that game and saw you, if I remember
you
right.
You probably did.
We talked.
Yeah, Dean's got each number one finger up in the air. You know, he's pointing up in the air. So cool. Yeah.
So, absolutely. So it's fun to go to the Summerwood League games, and I encourage everybody, if you want to go watch baseball, I think it's $8 or $9 for a firm ticket where you sit in the outfield grass area or you sit wherever you want, I guess. But it's a fun event to get to.
So does Nancy enjoy your bobblehead collection, or does she want to throw them away?
We're not going to talk about it. I have one too many. Let's just say that. So
well, your wife and my wife think the same. We'll just go with that.
Yep. She doesn't understand the thrill of the hunt. That's all I can say. So,
Tom Jones.
We'll get you over here and you can see the collection. And I don't know if you saw it at the old house, but the new house has got much better display of them. So.
I got to tell you this quick story. When I just first met my wife, and she's from Canada, and you know this. We camped out for a Corey Koski bobblehead at the Metrodome overnight in a two-person tent, and and my parents showed up that day just after the gates opened, and they got a bobblehead. We camped out for a bobblehead, and my parents showed up right when the gates opened and still got a bobblehead. My wife said, "What in the world were we doing?"
I can remember those days as my dog, and we have somebody else pulling in the driveway. But the days of going to those games, and there was a strategy. If you needed to be in line at like 2:20 to be able to get a bobblehead, and we knew right in the area of where you stood in order for you to get a bobblehead. And I remember we went up when they were having that bucket giveaway, and I think we got there at 6:30 or 7 in the morning, and we didn't get one. And of course, about 5 years later, I got one from a friend of mine for next to nothing. So. It's just, there's good memories on the bobblehead days. It's starting out with Harmon Killebrew. That was the first one, and they only gave away 5,000 of that
I'll
one. And that one's still kind of collectible.
That one's worth money.
Oliva.
That one's worth good money. That's a valuable one there, Jonesy.
Yeah, but they only gave out 5,000 of those, and I got both of those. So anyway, we've covered a lot of topics here today, and we probably better get some music back on, but it's always great to talk to you on Tuesdays.
Yeah, I'll let you go. It's a busy house there at the Jonesy House, so we'll let you go. Tom, have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday, okay?
Hey, you bet. It's always a pleasure, Aaron. Thank you, listeners, for listening.